Good evening and welcome to our Good Friday service. The Bible reading I've picked for today is Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment of reflection and gratitude, we come before you with hearts full of thanks. We recognize your hand in every blessing we have received, both big and small, and we are overwhelmed by your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life itself, for each breath we take and each beat of our hearts. Thank you for the beauty of creation that surrounds us, reminding us of your glory and majesty. We are grateful for the love of family and friends, for the relationships that sustain and uplift us. Thank you for the comfort of companionship and the joy of shared laughter. Thank you, Father, for the provision of our daily needs, for our food on our tables, shelter over our heads, and clothes on our backs. Help us to remember those who are less fortunate and to be channels of your provision and compassion to them. Above all, we give thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for our salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life that we have through him. May our lives be living testimonies of gratitude to you, O Lord, as we seek to honour you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing to the Lord and give thanks. Hymn number 780, How Deep the Father's Love. I'd like to read a poem. It's called At the Cross by Andy Stinson. I wait, and time ticks past. I gaze, made silent by the sight. I watch as soldiers meticulously move, executing each terrible, torturous task. I gasp. Still, life lingers in this fragile, broken form. I flinch as blow by blow, nails bite through flesh to find wood. I stand as he is lifted high, silhouetted against the sky he has made. I weep as his cry echoes deep in my hardened, calloused heart. I wail as he screams, it is complete, finished, final, said and done. I fall as the sky turns inky black and the sun and moon and stars forget to shine. I kneel as worlds collide and time ticks by. What once bound no longer seems to hold. I bow, for part of me is gone, kept forever on Calvary's painful peak. I wait at the foot of the cross to begin my journey home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of prayer, we lift up our voices on behalf of those in need, knowing that you hear the cries of your people and are moved with compassion. We pray for those who are suffering, whether from illness, pain, or grief. Grant them strength, Lord, to endure their trials, and may they feel your comforting presence surrounding them. We intercede for those who are marginalised and oppressed, those who are victims of injustice and discrimination. Bring about justice and equality, O God, and empower us to be agents of change in our communities. We pray for those who are struggling with doubt, fear, or anxiety. Pour out your peace upon them, Lord, and remind them of your steadfast love that never fails. We lift up our leaders, both in our communities and around the world. Grant them wisdom and discernment as they make decisions that impact the lives of many. We intercede for those who are far from you, that they may come to know the depth of your love and the salvation found in Christ. We remember those who are facing financial difficulties, uncertainty about their future, or feelings of hopelessness. Provide for their needs, O Lord, and give them hope for tomorrow. May your Holy Spirit move mightily in our midst, bringing healing, restoration, and reconciliation to all who are in need. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing again, hymn number 544, There Is a Redeemer. before we come to a time of communion, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your table to partake in this sacred communion, we come humbly before you, recognizing the depth of your love and grace. We acknowledge our unworthiness, yet we stand in awe of your unfailing mercy that welcomes us just as we are. In this moment, cleanse our hearts, O Lord, and purify our thoughts. Grant us the strength to lay aside all distractions and to focus solely on your presence here with us. May this communion be more than just partaking of bread and wine. May it be a true communion of our souls with yours. As we receive these elements, may they nourish us spiritually, strengthening our faith and renewing our commitment to live according to your will. May they remind us of the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we may have eternal life. Forgive us, Lord, for our failings and our shortcomings. Grant us your peace that surpasses all understanding. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, guiding us in the paths of righteousness. In this sacred moment, we offer you our thanks and praise. May our hearts overflow with gratitude for your boundless love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to communion. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May I have the service, please? Lord said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat and be thankful." Amen. He also took the cup and said, "This is my body, this is the blood of my body given for you for the remission of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." If we could retain the cups and drink together, to show the unity of the body of Christ. Amen. Let us drink and be thankful. We thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us on the cross today. Amen. And let us sing with mighty hearts and big voices my favourite hymn, 1346, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
Isaiah 53, verse 6, 4 to 6. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I would argue that those are among the saddest words you could read. Today, as we know, is Good Friday, probably part of the most important few days in the Christian calendar. A day for solemnity and reflection. A day when we remember the ultimate sacrifice made by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Just 1 week before this mournful day, Jesus entered Jerusalem in a triumphant procession. The disciples and the crowd had no idea what was to befall this man that they were hailing king. But Jesus himself knew. Good Friday confronts us with the reality of suffering and death, with sadness and loss. So why is it called Good Friday? When, from the first moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus swept drops of blood, the theme was set. There was nothing but hatred and contempt in all the hearts but the closest of Christ's followers, except one of them. From the mass of temple guards that went there to arrest him, one man stepped forward, kissed Jesus on the cheek, betraying him with a greeting of friendship. Judas, whose name will be forever synonymous with betrayal and treason. Now begins the downward trajectory of the treatment of Jesus. He is taken off to the house of the high priests to be questioned. Peter is keeping a safe distance, but in the end denies knowing Jesus and is broken. How would we fare in the same situation? In fear of our own lives, would we deny that we know Jesus? Still today, many Christians are being executed just because they are Christians. At the house of the high priest, the men guarding Jesus blindfolded him, mocked him, and beat him. Jesus, the man, is slowly becoming less of a man to his captors. Soon he will be a foul taste, a piece of dirt on the sole of their shoe that they wish to rid themselves of. Jesus hasn't slept since the night before, going from the Passover meal in the upper room to Gethsemane, and there arrested and held prisoner, all before sun up. My apologies. Luke 22, verses 66 to 71, we read this. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. And they all said, so you are the Son of God. He replied, you are right in saying I am. Did you catch that? How Jesus got them to say that he was the Son of God? Listen to it again. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. He knows their hearts are hardened. And if I ask you, you would not answer. He knows, they know the truth. But from now on, the Son of God will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. Now here's where they say it with their own mouths. So you are the Son of God. You see, if Jesus just admits it, they won't believe him. And if he asks them outright, they won't admit it. Very subtly, Jesus gets them to say that he is the Son of God. And says to them, you are right in saying I am. He appeals to their pride by saying they're right. Who doesn't like being right? And yet, they are still deaf and blind by going on to say, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. No, they have heard it from their own lips. Now they bind him and lead him off to Pilate, hoping for a speedy resolution to what they considered their thorn in the side, and brought charges against Jesus. Here we see the same conversation as with the council of the elders and teachers of the law, but this time with Pilate. Luke 23, verses 2 to 3. We find this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king. Now Pilate asked him, saying, so you are the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, it is as you say. Again, Jesus has got his accusers to say who he is. So you are the king of the Jews. Pilate's own words. Jesus is appealing to his Pilate's sense of importance when he says, it is you say, how you say. But even with that statement, Pilate dismisses them, saying, I find no basis for a charge against this man. Boy, how that must have infuriated the Jewish leaders. When we read through the Gospels concerning the Passion narrative, we see that Jesus speaks only to confirm the truth. He gives no credence to the false testimonies, lies, and deceit. As it is written in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. But the chief priests and teachers of the law would not give up. Luke 23:5. But they insisted, he stirs up the people all over the nation. By his teachings, he started in Galilee and has come all the way here. Being Galilean means Jesus comes under the jurisdiction of Herod. Maybe this is Pilate's chance to pass the buck, to pass the responsibility. Reading between the lines, I do get the impression that Pilate doesn't really want to get involved in the locals' petty disagreements. And as Luke tells us, Herod was greatly pleased because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him perform a sign of some sort, a miracle even. But again, Jesus remained silent. Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him and sent him back to Pilate, which probably infuriated Pilate. Bound and beaten, and no doubt exhausted, Jesus has gone from the chief priest's house to Pilate, to Herod, and back to Pilate. And again, he finds no grounds to sentence Jesus to death. He tells them that he will punish him and then release him. This stirred up the whole crowd and they shouted, release Barabbas! Pilate appealed to them, but they shouted even more, crucify him! Crucify him! The atmosphere must have been intense. It's almost as if Jesus isn't really there. After a third attempt to save Jesus from the death penalty, the crowd continued to insist that he be crucified. This time, Pilate granted their demand and released Barabbas, a man who was in prison for insurrection and murder. Given the choice, who would you choose? I suspect it's not a difficult decision. Now the horrific part of the journey to the cross begins. Jesus is taken away to be scourged or flogged. A gruesome form of torture which involves the person being flogged to be stripped and made to stretch his arms around a pillar, boulder, or other large object at a forward-leaning angle. His hands are bound tightly on the other side of the pillar so that his arms were distended and his back stretched taut. He would then be whipped with a Roman whip, which was a whip with two or three long leather strips attached to a short wooden handle. Knotted into the leather strips were pieces of metal and bone that dug into and then tore the out flesh during the flogging. This would shred a man's back from his shoulders down to his buttocks. It wasn't uncommon for a man to die from the ensuing blood loss and shock. Has anyone seen the Passion of the Christ? It's a hard watch, very upsetting, but depicts this scene most graphically. But it is a hard watch indeed. In excruciating agony, Jesus is taken into the praetorium. Getting me words again. Excuse me while I have a sip. Praetorium, or judgment hall, where we read in Matthew 27:27, were gathered the whole company of soldiers. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on his head again and again. The head that still wore the crown of thorns. How much more can a man take? But more he must. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon and forced him to carry the cross. Is it any wonder that Jesus couldn't carry his own cross? They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes, by casting lots. That's all the Gospels say concerning the crucifixion. When they had crucified him, or, and then they crucified him, or there they crucified him. Which brings us back to Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And also back to my original question, why is it called Good Friday? How, through all that suffering, hatred and violence and disregard for someone's life, can it be called good? Because it was all done out of love. Love for me and love for you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It is a love that knows no bounds and reaches out to embrace all who come to him in faith. Jesus Christ took the punishment that we deserved. You and I should be thrown into the lake of eternal fire. We deserve the very fate that Jesus endured. Yet, we stand here today, forgiven, reconciled to God, wearing the righteousness that was given to us by Christ, washed clean by his blood, and have the promise of eternal life. And if that's not good, I don't know what is. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Let us go from here tonight contemplating all that the Lord has done for us. Let us also consider what it means for our own lives. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, so too are we called to live lives of sacrificial love and service to others. We are called to take up our crosses and follow him, to share in his suffering so that we may also share in his glory. And if you would permit me to read the poem one more time. At the cross, I wait, and time ticks past. At the cross, I gaze, made silent by the sight. At the cross, I watch, as soldiers meticulously move, executing each terrible, torturous task. At the cross, I gasp. Still life lingers in his fragile, broken form. At the cross, I flinch, as blow by blow, nails bite deep through flesh to find wood. At the cross, I stand, as he is lifted high, silhouetted against the sky he has made. At the cross, I weep, as his cry echoes deep in my hardened, calloused heart. At the cross, I wail, as he screams, it is complete, finished, final, said and done. At the cross, I fall, as the sky turns inky black, and the sun and moon and stars forget to shine. At the cross, I kneel, as worlds collide and time ticks by, what once bound no longer seems to hold. At the cross I bow, for part of me is gone. Forever on Calvary's painful peak, I wait at the foot of the cross to begin my journey home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life on the cross for our salvation. May we never take for granted the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. But may we always live lives that reflect the love and grace that we have received. Help us to take up our crosses daily and follow in the footsteps of your Son, that we may be witnesses to your redeeming love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And let us sing our final hymn, 161, He Came to Earth, King of Kings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.